Good evening and welcome to another episode of Transition Talk. I'm your host, Andrew, and this is my lovely wife, Brenda, and we got a special episode for you tonight. Guess what? We are in the hot seat tonight. We are going to be interviewed tonight by Miss Bracy, and she's coming at us with all different types of questions that came about through some of our viewers asking about what it takes to be in a long-lasting relationship.
Yes.
And my wife and I, we decided to give people a chance to put us in the hot seat and give us some questions.
Yeah, so many of our viewers have reached out to us and have questions about, you know, what it takes to stay in a long-lasting relationship. What are some obstacles that you may have to go through? So we decided tonight to allow them to put us in the hot seat tonight. Yes. So we're bracing ourselves for Miss Keisha Bracy.
Yes, and I am so excited. So we're going to play roulette and let's see what question we have first. What was one of the major milestones in your marriage?
You want me to start?
I'll let you answer that one.
Okay. One of the major milestones in our marriage, I would say, would be one of them is that when we had our first child.
I would say that too. I would say that too.
Do we get points for that?
Yes, you guys get points.
Okay, okay. But I would say that was one of our first major milestones because that sticks with me even today. When we had our son, it was like the world stood still. Everything just came to a complete halt. And when he came about, and I just want to give a little brief about that because before our son was born, you know, my wife and I, we all wanted to have children and we couldn't have children in the beginning. So one of our mother of the church, she prayed for my wife. She laid hands on my wife. And when she laid hands on my wife, it was not a month later that my wife was pregnant.
Yeah.
So that's why it was a major milestone for us because we was trying to have children and we couldn't have children. And we took it to our bishop and his wife. And when she prayed over her, it was like, well, you know, it was a blessing as well as a miracle. So that was a major milestone in our life.
I would agree. When you said that question, that came to my mind as well. That was just a moment that God was showing me just, you know, in our first years of marriage that he was with us and he answered our prayers. You know, sometimes you go through marriage, you want to make sure you're going in the right direction and you're doing the right things. And I can say when the Lord granted us to be pregnant with my son, that was just a point to let us know that we were together for a reason. God had purpose for our life. And I think in every marriage, you might go through different situations and in different times may make you understand, you know, are we here for a purpose? What purpose are we together? And there will be some point, some major event in your life that will show you this is why God have us together. And that was one of my major milestones. I'm surprised you said that. I agree.
See, that's what 30 years of marriage do for you. You begin to think alike.
Yeah.
Do you think having your son drew you guys closer? What way did that make you guys?
I think it did. And one thing you have to understand when you are married and you're a single, you know, just you and your spouse, you have all the time for each other. So when we brought another person in the equation, we had to share some time. Yes. And I'm just gonna be honest.
Go ahead, keep it real. Keep it real.
When my husband had a point where we had to figure out, okay, how much time are you going to give to the child and not give to me? Because that was my first child. So he was my, right at that point, everything, you know, everything I did all day was because of my son. And so as a wife, I had to realize I had to figure out how I'm going to give my husband time as well as give it to my son. And so, you know, to young couples that are just getting married or just having children, that could be a major obstacle. You know, figuring out how much time we're going to spend together because children do require a lot of time.
Yes.
You know, God gave us children. It's a blessing and we should overlook, you know, overshadow them or watch over them. We should not neglect our children, but it's a balance you have to have in your life to know that you're giving your children the attention and also your husband the attention as well. Because we had a big, when you remember that?
Oh yeah, it was not a big.
That was an issue.
It was.
We had to have a conversation.
Oh, you better one of those in-depth conversations because Like you said, as a man, of course, and as a husband, you know that some of that time has been taken away.
Mm-hmm.
And so, as I would say this even to young couples or couples that are getting married, that, you know, bringing children into their relationship, you have to be able to give sacrifice and have to realize that, you know, you no longer, even though you might be the husband, you got to realize now there is a priority now in the house.
Yeah.
And believe it or not, now the child comes first.
Yeah.
And that's what I had to learn. Is that, you know, even though, you know, this is my wife and I know that I was her husband, when our son came in, of course, that took more priority at that time. And that we had to share both of our time with him, and I had to, you know, learn that in our relationship.
It was a moment.
So would you guys recommend that people that are having, or couples that are having children, that they, that's one of the things that they don't tell you that you need to discuss.
Exactly.
When you're, before you're having kids.
And that's exactly right, because sometimes you have children before getting married, and that can be a strain as well, because when you first get married, you know, you want to get to know the person. You think you know a person, but you really don't know them until you get married.
Mm-hmm.
After you say I do, and you guys begin to live as one, you really begin to know a person. So you got to understand that you're bringing the baby along with you, or the children along with you. Those are, I'm not saying stressors, but those are elements that you have to take into consideration when you are building a relationship, because it's not just you and him.
Right.
Now it's you, him, the children as well. And it really takes a person that's really in love. I'm going to tell anybody, if you're not in love going through that, that could be a strain on the relationship. But if you love each other, you're going to find time regardless. And we found time, don't forget one time, we found time sometimes we have to leave out of the room and go by ourselves to get a moment by ourselves. And they're looking for us. Well, you have to make time for your marriage.
Oh, yeah.
You have to.
Yes, you got to. I'm not
going to
get
the hotel.
No, I'm not going to get into the different.
But you have to make
you
time.
Have to
you got to be creative.
So what are
Okay.
Listen, one thing came to my mind. This is funny. Okay, we had went out of town, and my husband and I had the children with us. And you know, you've been working, you've been going, and you know, and when your spouse said, listen, I need to talk to you. We need to spend some time together. And so when the kids went to sleep, we was at a hotel. We went in the car just to get away from the kids to talk. Now that was funny, but that was real. We had to get away from the children. We made sure there was security. They were all asleep. We sat in the car at the hotel just to talk to each other.
You said just to talk, but I'm no, we know this one. We know this more than talk. And there was not small kids. We want to mind, you know, we didn't was not small
no,
kids.
Not babies.
But they was old enough that they could be in the room
by
themselves.
Yeah.
But as you get older, you got to be creative to spend time together. You know, because when you have children in the relationship, then you got to realize they need time as well.
Exactly.
As the couple as well. But one thing I must say is that before we had children, though, we spent time together before. We didn't just jump into getting married and had kids. We was married. We was together for like
3 years.
About 2 or 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
We started trying maybe after a year and a half. But we got to know each other a little bit before we actually began to try to, you know, bring children into the relationship.
That was a good question.
Okay, so the next question, let me see. If your marriage was a cake, what is the main ingredient to making a happy marriage? And I think y'all kind of hit on it, but
well, you know, I would say the main ingredient, if it was a cake, I would say commitment. Out of everything that's in the cake, you know, and you got the batter, you know, the flour and sugar and all of that, I would say that commitment is the main thing in a relationship. You got to be committed. Yeah. I mean, beyond everything else, you have to be committed to that relationship. And you can't see no failure in it. A lot of people don't understand that. And my wife would tell you, and I give you a real life scenario, is that when we got married, I told her I didn't even believe in divorce. Divorce was not in an equation. And, you know, so I know some people, when they look in the Bible, they're trying to find a way to get out or whatever, but I did not see no way out of marriage when you got into it. That's how committed I was to it. But if you get into marriage and you try to say, well, if this don't work, then it got me way out, or this don't go right, then there's a way out. Then you, the enemy is always going to give you a way out. But if you committed to it, then you, that way, that holds it together. Because there are going to be all different kind of things that come into the relationship. But if you committed to something and devoted to something, then I feel like that is the glue, or you say that is the key thing, the key ingredient in having a long-lasting relationship.
No, I guess I can agree with that. I know I've had people say, you know, I'm not happy in a marriage. You know, you sometimes you feel like I don't feel the same I used to feel when I first got married. And I do agree, if you're not committed, when you're not happy, because nobody promised that you're going to be happy all the time.
Right.
I know people say happy ever after, but there's no such thing as happy ever after. You have moments in your marriage that are stressed. You have moments you're frustrated. You have moments that you have tried. But you, like you said, being committed, regardless of what we're going through, we're going to stay together. And so nobody promised that you're going to be happy. Nobody promised that you're going to be happy, but you are. You can promise that I will be committed. Yeah.
So you would agree the major ingredient also is commitment.
I believe if you're loving someone, you love someone, you are committed to that person. And I must say, he can say we differed on that when it came to divorce. I didn't say it wasn't an out. That was my opinion, and he already knew that. He had an opinion, there's no out. I told him, listen, might not be no out for you, but in my mind, I'm looking at the door. Where's the exit? But I knew that he was that was his mind. That was his state of mind. And whenever we got in an argument, regardless of how we got an argument, he wanted to talk. But he believed there's no out. So I think we still have our differences on that end about divorce. Because I feel like there's issues that may not come into our marriage, may come into somebody else's life. Real life situations where a person is having an issue where they cannot stay with a person. Well, we've had that conversation, right?
Yeah, let be clear. I ain't telling you to stay in something that, you know, you're being abusive to someone, something like that. You know, I would not tell anybody to try to stay in a relationship, you know, that they've been abusive in that relationship.
But, yeah, physically or mentally. Yeah.
But today, I think that there's so many other options or so many other things that cut off. People are getting divorced for and stuff like that. So you have to be committed to it, because if not, the devil will find other things for it to come in.
Okay. Definitely. So we got a cake, and the main ingredient in our cake is commitment. Okay. Yeah. Let me see. Do you believe in love at first sight? And did you feel that when you met your husband?
I believe in love at first sight. I don't believe in love at first sight. I don't. And the reason why I don't believe in love at first sight, because you don't know the person. I believe in lust at first sight. I believe in infatuation at first sight. But I don't think you love a person at first sight, because you don't know that person. And so I think if you really, really love somebody, you have to know that person. I think sometimes we go through years of being with somebody and think we are in love, but you really don't love somebody until you really get to know the person. And when I my husband, love at first sight, no, it wasn't love at first sight. But as I got to know my husband, I began to love my husband. But just to look at someone, to say I fall in love with a person, I just don't believe in that. I know some people may think that is a true phenomenon, but I feel like true love, you have to know a person. But as I said, I believe in lust at first sight.
What do you think? Believe in love at first sight? Love, lust.
Well, I'm like this. I mean, I believe it can happen. Mm-hmm. I think that it's something that can happen in a relationship. That did happen with us. Apparently not.
You know it did not with you.
I said apparently not. No. I said apparently not. It didn't happen. But I believe that there are some relationships that when they see each other, I believe that, you know, it can, there is a strong pulling. They call it love or what you call it, certain things. But I believe that there is a a strong pull in a relationship, sometimes you know that's the one. In other words, when you say this love at first sight, you know that that's the one. I have known people that met somebody and may be married for 40 years or 30 years or 50 years and said, I knew that was the one.
Mm.
And they stay with them from high school. They stay with them through college. They stay with them all of their adult life. That does not mean that they did not have any challenges or any issues,
yeah.
But they knew from the beginning that that was the one for them. So when you say love at first sight, I say that's saying that you knew that's the one for you. So that's how I see me say love at first sight.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, that changes it. So you can know that that's the person for you. That doesn't necessarily mean that you're in love at that moment. Is that what you're saying?
Right. Because it gets into a bigger weed, because you're saying, what is love? So how do you define love? See, some people define love as lust or infatuation, but love is about, when you look at it, you know, like the Bible says, you know, love is kind, love is long-suffering, love is patient. You know, so you see that person, you can see yourself, I can be patient with that person. I can go through with that person no matter what situation it is. I can, you know, I can be with that person even through, like, good, for better, or for worse. So when you see, look at a person, you see that, then that's love. Mm-hmm. You know, that is the real definition of love, being able to say, I can be with that person through all that. And some people, they see that when they, some people see the first person, they can see that. I believe that some people, they can see that in their relationship.
Okay.
That's good. Mm-hmm. That's good. See, we already, somebody asked about divorce. We already talked about our thoughts about divorce. So for those that are dating and contemplating marriage, how do you know that that person is the one? What would you tell them?
I think you will know that person is the one when you are at peace with that person. I believe there's a connection that you will have, that you'll feel that I cannot see myself living without that person. And I can say that for myself, after getting to know my husband, you know, he was in the military, he was traveling, but I began to feel like I had to have him in my life. And when a person brings you peace in your life, if a person brings you turmoil or always bringing you stressors, that's an issue. Mm. But when you are with a person and you feel like you, a piece of you is whole at this point, you know, I know this person, I just feel like I'm complete with that person. And I think you'll know that that's the one for you. I was dating my husband and at the time, and I was, and my mother and one of the mothers in church told me that you'll know that he is the one is when he leaves your presence and you don't worry about where he's at. You know that he loves you. No matter who comes around him, no matter who he's in the presence of, you know that person is the one, because you know his eyes are for you. And you get that peace when you're around him. And that kind of let me know he was the one.
You know the one. When did you know that?
We'll talk about that later.
What would you say?
Okay, how do you know that that's the one for you?
Yeah, when you're dating, how do you know that that person's the one for you?
Well, I guess I would say that how I know that she was the one for me is that, first of all, I have to be honest, I have to be real.
Not tonight.
Okay, not tonight. But
you ain't gotta go into detail.
I ain't gonna go into detail, but how did I know she was the one for me? Is because you get past all the things that people look at, of course, you know, I figured that, you know, she was very attractive. She is still very attractive. And her spirit and her kindness. But one thing that really tried to me was because of her voice. And you know, those were some of the attributes. But how did I know that she was the one for me? And I have to be real, I asked God. I really did, because I saw the outer appearance, and I know that, you know, we had a relationship at that time, we were dating and stuff like that. But at the end, I said, God, is she the one for me? And I said, God, if she's not the one for me, let me know now.
Yeah.
But if she is, let me know. And then I know no matter what we go through, we're going to make it. So how do you know someone's for you? I would say the only way you can know you can make sure, take it to God and make sure God, you know, validates that.
So. I think that's good. You know, like you say, you got to pray and ask God for direction. But we had a series we talked about, you know, even when you're dating somebody, don't date in isolation. You know, be around your family, be around people with wisdom that can see some either red flags that you don't see, you know, or they can see the good things that you may overlook. And but if you're in isolation, sometimes you're in like rose-colored glasses, you're tunnel vision, you don't really see some of the small things you need to, you know, take account. But being around other people, we dated around spiritual people, being around people of wisdom and being around other people that can help us also can help you make a good decision when it comes to being with a mate. You know, sometimes you can make a decision based on how the person look, how much money they make. That is not a good thing to say that the person is for me. Being around somebody that has wisdom, experience, somebody that has been through, you know, some of the issues that marriages go through or relationships go through, is wise to get yourself around people around that, with that, to make a decision. That's what I feel.
That's really good advice, because you do feel like sometimes when you're dating someone, you're so involved with that
person. You really are.
You're so involved with that person and in that relationship that some of the red flags you can actually miss. What would you say some of the red flags are?
I think some of the red flags, if you're dating somebody and you're thinking about marriage, you need to see if the person wants you to still be yourself. If he wants to take away who you are, not let you grow, that's a red flag. One major red flag is, like I said, keep you in isolation, not wanting you to be around your family, not wanting you to spend time with your family. That's an issue, because if he loves you, he should love your family. I'm not saying being around your family. I'm not saying trying to be around all the time, like every Sunday dinner you got to be there. But he should love the fact that you love your family. He should want to get to know your family, because that is an extension of you. And sometimes being around the parents of that person, you get to know how your wife might be or how your husband might be as they get older. So I think it's a red flag if you want to keep you in isolation away from people that you love. What do you think? Red flags.
Well, let's put a pin in that.
Okay.
We're gonna do a cliffhanger, and we're gonna get from the man's perspective when we come back.
All right.
Some major red flags. Okay.
Very good.
All right.